knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He is. He's Dean Richards, and he's here to talk about movies. And Dean, before we get to today's big film, and this is one of the most highly anticipated movies of the year, I want to share a moment with you. I went to see the newest Star Trek movie about a week ago, a little over a week ago.
Beyond?
Yes, Star Trek Beyond. And before the movie, and I know you get to see mostly screenings, I don't know how many films you see in regular theaters now, but I always enjoyed the coming attractions. That's a big deal for me. I love that. I love seeing, you know, little 3-minute clips of what's coming.
The trailers.
Yeah, the trailers.
As they're known in the,
what
the business.
The business.
The coming attractions.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yep, the coming attractions.
Oh,
so I wish they showed that.
They should still show that. All right. So before Star Trek Beyond, they showed 6 trailers for upcoming films.
Right.
4 of them were just guys punching other guys and shooting at other guys.
Right.
There was one with Matt Damon. It's for the Jason Bourne movie that's out now. There was one with Vin Diesel. There was one with a guy I never heard of from some other country. I'm trying to remember who the 4th one was. I think Jason Statham or something. But there was no discernible plot at all. Just a guy punching other guys and then chasing them in the car and then shooting them.
That's all you need is violence. Who needs more than that? That's what Shakespeare. If Shakespeare could have written more machine gun and disembowelment movie plays,
right?
He would have. Midsummer Night's Dream would have been completely different. You know, it's interesting and ironic and good for actor Tyson Beckford. You know who that is?
Yeah.
Extremely handsome.
Yeah.
African American actor.
Wow.
Called out Matt Damon. Saying that, you know, in his private life, he is, you know, calling for gun control. He's calling, you know, he's got one position about gun ownership that it should be different, but makes millions of dollars in these shoot 'em up movies that he makes. And I think he makes a very good point.
Yeah.
That Tyson Beckford makes a very good point that a lot of these Hollywood guys, you know, and Matt Damon's position on guns. He's not trying to take away any guns. He's not for abolishing the Second Amendment or anything like that. But he is for sensible gun control. But it is a little bit ironic that, you know, in his real life, he's sort of, you know, anti-gun. But, you know, Jason Bourne sure has no problem with pulling one out of his underpants every 5 minutes.
Is that a gun in your underpants?
Sure it is. Of course it is.
It's my assault weapon, baby.
Oh, God.
Do you remember the story? Do you remember the story, Gene, a couple of years ago? This movie company said that when they're making up posters for movies, they did this test marketing campaign where with most of their movies, all they needed to do was give a guy or a girl a gun on the movie poster, and they sold twice as many tickets.
Yeah, not surprised. I mean, we are a gun-loving culture. There's no question about it. I mean, a lot of people have said that Americans love their guns.
Yeah.
They love their gun Toten movies. They love their explosions. They're, you know, mowing people down.
Car chases.
With guns. They people
look at Woody and Toy Story.
Movies.
Buzz Lightyear had a laser gun.
Yes.
We were trying to think of, you know, the most successful movies of all time and the very, very few of them that did not have really quite a bit of gun violence in them.
Yeah.
There's very
few.
How
about that? How about that? And then, you know, the other story I wanted to bring up with you, Wendy and I haven't even discussed this. They're remaking Splash, which is interesting because Splash, it's one of those movies that you go, oh, all right. I don't know if it needs to be remade. But
Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah from 84.
John Candy.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Really great
movie.
Really
good movie.
Right.
But now they're doing a kind of a reversal on it, right?
It's a merman.
It is a merman. Channing. Why don't they get Ethel Merman to be in it?
Everything's coming up merman.
Yeah. Everything's coming up slimy. That would be the song she'd sing.
Great things coming up slimy. Channing Tatum now will be the merman.
I am so sick of him. Put a shirt on and go home.
I think many people would disagree with you on that. Put a shirt on part of your sons.
He's not.
Wendy, I don't want it. Like, going into the Channing Tatum era, I was saying to myself, oh, this is just a big, handsome, musclehead guy. This can't be good. But he always surprises me in how good
deliver,
he is.
He does deliver, I guess. But put your shirt on. I'm just sick of looking at it.
He thinks he's Putin.
That's what he should do a Putin movie.
Yeah,
he should.
Yeah,
should do a Putin movie. So if that's the if he plays Putin, and yeah, he, and certainly he should. Who plays Donald Trump in the movie? Other than Donald Trump, he can't be Donald Trump. Who else would take that role?
That's tough. Well, Meryl Streep's name comes to mind immediately. She's great.
She's already played him.
She did actually, right? In a little short film,
she did a little spoof. Thing.
Yeah. All right, so if Channing Tatum plays the Daryl Hannah part, who plays the Tom Hanks part?
Her name is Jillian Bell. She was in a bunch of TV shows. Probably the place that you'd recognize her most, she's one of the cubicle mates on the show Workaholics.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe her any more than that. It's kind of a plain Jane co-worker of the main characters in Workaholics. She was co-starred with Channing Tatum in 22 Jump Street.
Oh, I know who that is. All right. Yeah, she's good.
That came out. Yeah. So that's supposed to be the story. Ron Howard, who directed the first Splash, is going to produce this one with his producing partner, Brian Grazer.
Mm-hmm.
And
is he a merman, too?
I think they're all.
He looks like a porcupine. Doesn't he?
He does. He does a little bit.
Yeah, he does.
He's got the spiky hair that someone needs to tell him it's not 1992 anymore.
Right. And if he feels threatened, like a porcupine, he can shoot them out like quills. Right. Did you know that?
I'm so jealous of anybody with hair. I don't. You give me anyone, and I'll tell you what's wrong with their hair, because I don't have any.
And when can we look for the remake of Splash? Is it soon?
Bitter.
Don't be bitter. It'll be fine. You don't need it. You're fine.
I'm so hair bitter.
Come on.
They have not announced a date on this yet.
All right.
Can I interrupt our broadcast for just a moment?
Sure.
Just seated next to me a moment ago is the one, the only.
Yeah.
Anna Balova.
Oh, please.
You're all doing it now. You're just so rude to her.
Wendy says that we're all rude to you.
You are all rude to me.
Her name is Anna Balova.
Oh, now you know how to say it. After
I always
a couple
did.
Of days with her.
We are BFFs.
Good. Be careful. All right. We need to take a quick break.
When you start throwing Fs in, you got
to
be careful.
Then you have to be careful. It's us. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's Dean.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm just starting to
cry. Somebody give him the Heimlich maneuver.
I'm starting to cry.
I'm Heimlich choking.
I'll
be fine. I'm fine. I get nervous when blah, 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 comes by. All right. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're talking with Dean Richards and
Chicago's other good hands.
When is that other... I do like to moisturize.
Yes.
When is the your Hometown Voices date again?
2 weeks from tomorrow.
August 19.
Are you coming out?
I would like to.
That would be fantastic.
I would like to do that.
All right.
Please do.
I love that.
I don't have to golf, though, right?
No, I don't golf. None of us golf.
All right. Wendy and I will be in the bar.
All right. Please come out.
If you're looking for us, we'll be in the bar.
All right. That's fine. All right, Dean, this movie, Suicide Squad, highly anticipated, as I keep mentioning. I couldn't wait to see this movie, but I'm getting feelings there could be some problems.
Yeah, suicide has become the key word because that's how people, when they leave the theater.
Oh, no.
I shouldn't even make fun of that, and I'm sorry that I did.
All right.
But it's, it's a hugely disappointing movie. I was so looking forward to this.
Wasn't everybody?
As well, I think everybody sort of was. Because of the success of the Avengers, and there have been so many like really, really good, the superhero movies lately with Captain America and so forth, and everyone's looking forward to Justice League the same way. And, you know, why not look forward to this? Well, I actually was more of a DC Comics kid than I was a Marvel Comics kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was very familiar with the mythology on this. This team of anti-superheroes, not even superheroes, but...
Bad guys.
Anti-heroes, bad guys,
yeah,
that are brought together very begrudgingly, because if they don't participate in this caper, they will die. And they're put together by sort of, you know, if we're going to compare it to the Avengers, sort of a, the ringleader, the authority, is played by Viola Davis, who's kind of overseeing them all. And it's Will Smith, and it's Margot Robbie, Joel Kinnaman is one of them, Cara Delevingne, Jay Hernandez. There are about 10 of them. There's a long list of them, really way too many, which is part of the problem. And also Jared Leto as the Joker. And I'll say, even though I was disappointed in the film, I did like many of these performances quite a bit. Margot Robbie is quite good.
Harley Quinn?
As Harley Quinn in the film, exactly. And Jared Leto as the Joker is pretty close to me as a Jack Nicholson or a Heath Ledger in this.
Wow.
There's this diabolical, creepy nature that you want in your Joker, but the only problem is he's barely in the movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the big disappointments is he's barely in the movie. Everybody else is okay, but as I say, there are so many of them that they kind of dilute each other. Viola Davis is unexpectedly good because you expect her to be like Samuel L. Jackson, and there's a little bit of a twist to her character. But so the cast almost sort of negates itself. That's one of the problems. Another of the problems is this extremely poorly written script that just cannot get its arms around the excitement of having so many people and so many interesting characters with varied skills and, you know, talents, all for bad, in this movie. They just cannot do it as well as Marvel Comics does. They just Marvel knows how to put these movies together in a way that the director of this film and also the writer of the film, David Ayers, of Fury fame and some other great films, just not his genre, I don't think. And the other problem that I had with it was its lack of originality in style. There really is nothing special about this film. Nothing, no oh wow moments where you go, we haven't never seen anything like that in this movie before. There are actually more than one occasions in this movie that it looked like they took some leftover footage from Ghostbusters and put it in this movie with these bad guys are not fighting other humans for the most part. They're fighting paranormal spirits, very Ghostbusters-like.
Yeah.
There's this, you know, sort of tornado, funnel cloud of evil that's, you know, sort of the crescendo of the film. It's not a spoiler alert. It's just a visual. But it looks exactly like that funnel cloud that you saw in the Ghostbusters movie. So this lack of originality, one disappointment after another. As I say, the only good things that I left this movie with were a few good performances that were kind of squandered and a whole lot of disappointment. So I'm sorry to say that Suicide Squad is, you know, maybe it's that we were all looking forward to this so much. It had nothing to do but fail when the expectations were so high. But I think the problem here really is more the content of the film more than expectations going into it. So C-minus for me.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm afraid.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
This is one, you know, when we were talking about trailers or coming attractions earlier, the trailer for this was so tight, and you just said to yourself, well, this can't miss. It's all kinds of action, and then every time they do something, they say something cute and pithy, and I like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Pithy's your middle name.
My middle name is Pithy. Bill Pithy left.
There was not enough pithy, not enough. You know how especially the Iron Man movies with Robert Downey have that sort of, you know, part of the entertainment are his piffy, if you will, comments off to the side.
And Deadpool too, Dean. That
I was just going to say that.
That was marvelous.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Deadpool maybe more than any of the rest of them.
Yeah.
That managed all the excitement, the mythology of the character, and was sort of like a wink, wink to everybody else watching the movie that they just didn't take it very seriously. It just doesn't work in Suicide Squad.
Oh, that's so sad.
In my opinion.
You know, the other thing with Deadpool is they took Ryan Reynolds, who had tried to do a superhero movie, Green Lantern, a few years earlier, and it was just abysmal. But they gave him a second chance with Deadpool, and he really showed that if the writing's on par, that it can really be great.
Yeah, even spoofed his previous attempt.
Yeah, that was great.
Which
I
was
really
great.
Loved that movie.
It says something about Ryan Reynolds that, you know, that he's, you know, man enough to have realized how that it was kind of important for him to do that. I had a whole new respect for him that he didn't mind making fun of himself. So yeah, that's a disappointment. The new Cirque du Soleil show, Turek, opened last night, which is a mess. And
oh, no.
I have to say is the worst Cirque du Soleil show that I've ever seen.
Did you say T-Rex? T-Rex.
No, Turok.
Turok is that correct, how they say it?
Yeah. Correct pronunciation. Turok, the first flight, that's based on James Cameron's Avatar movie. So it's the whole thing's got a very Avatar theme to it that I don't think translates very well to a live arena show. Call me crazy, but a show
crazy.
That is
means crazy.
That is mostly in the Avatar language of Na'vi, which I was going to take in high school. But I didn't.
The class was filled?
Took Spanish instead of Na'vi, so I didn't understand a lot of the dialogue in the show last night. There is a narrator to try to help you walk through it, but it doesn't come close to the originality of any Cirque du Soleil show that I've seen before. So that's also a huge disappointment.
Dean, you've told us about a bad movie and a horrible stage show. Is there a horrendous restaurant you can recommend and make the weekend complete for us?
A trilogy. Yes. Dean Richards trilogy. Yes. Let's see if I've been to an awful restaurant.
No, don't say it.
Let me see. What
don't
do
say
I
it.
Close? Which restaurant do we want to close?
No, don't do it.
Before the
don't
weekend's
do it.
Over. Now, you know what? I'll tell you about a movie that I really did like.
What's that?
It is a documentary on the life of the great Norman Lear. If this movie doesn't have Bill Leff written all over it, I don't know what does.
Where is this playing? I would love to see this.
Only
Dean's house.
Only, that's all right.
It's in my basement.
I'll come by.
It's at the Music Box Theater. It opens tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's called Just Another Version of You, and it's the story of Norman Lear's life. Growing up, a troubled, kind of a troubled youth whose father left him at an early age.
He was in jail.
His father, who was... used to say to his mother all the time, stifle, was, you know, the
Archie Bunker thing.
Very much based on who Archie Bunker became on television. But it's a story about his life. It's the story about the creation of these amazing shows that literally revolutionized television. All in the Family, Jeffersons, Good Times, Mary Hartman.
Yeah,
the list Maude,
Jefferson.
The list goes on and on of amazing shows. And it's... it's a very interesting, very touching and emotional look at Norman Lear's life.
I gotta see
and
it.
This one I cannot recommend enough.
Oh, good.
Only at one theater though in Chicago. It's only at the Music Box on North Southport.
Talk me into it. I read the book, his autobiography a couple months ago, and that was magnificent. So yeah, I'm anxious to see the movie.
I think they did a really nice job.
Good.
Of bringing his story to life. In this movie.
Dean, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Have a piffy weekend.
I promise we will.
Thank you, Dean.
It's Dean Richards. Stick around. We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Launch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.